Danny Heitman. His column appears every Sunday at random in The Advocate, and of course he writes many of the editorials along with his partner Lanny Keller that appear under the newspaper's banner. Dean earlier indicated that he called it a media war between the Picayune and The Advocate. Is that an accurate summation, or is that a bit of an exaggeration? What do you think?
You know, I shy away from using the term war, except for real wars, because I think it kind of trivializes what soldiers and sailors have to go through when they actually go into real combat. So I think what we have in Louisiana is a competition. It's an economic competition. That's what capitalism is all about. And like Dean, I think that the greater variety of media sources one has, the better off you are. And so I welcome competition, and I think any reasonable person would.
Danny wrote a column that we're going to discuss about the Middleton Library, and it's important for anybody who's a graduate of LSU or spends any time on campus or is just a resident of Baton Rouge. This is one of the entities that I think most, if not all of us, believe should be preserved, but it's having some issues, and we'll talk about that. But he writes, Danny does, for many other publications, including the Wall Street Journal, Christian Science Monitor, New York Times, Washington Post, and I could go on. But a piece you wrote in Humanities Magazine about H.L. Mencken won some awards. And for those unaware, at one time, this was the most influential writer in America.
In the 1920s, H.L. Mencken was a huge celebrity. He worked for the Baltimore Sun, and he really prided himself on being a Baltimore boy, and he lived there throughout his entire life. But he also had a national platform. H.L. Mencken was the journalist who invented the term Bible Belt to describe, you know, the South and its religious conservatism. He famously said, democracy is a theory that people know what they want and deserve to get it good and hard. He famously said, no one ever went broke underestimating the intelligence of the American people. He was a very bombastic writer, but he was a joyful writer. And I often compare him to James Gill, our local columnist who works for The Advocate and is just a joy to read. And Mr. Gill is very much in the kind of bombastic style of H.L. Mencken. So.
Well, and that's quite a compliment. And Mr. Gill, of course, wrote for many years for the Times-Picayune.
He certainly did. When I was in college, I read Mr. Gill. I started reading Mr. Gill in the Picayune, and he was just kind of a very instructive example on how to use language to make a point. So.
The quote you attributed to H.L. Mencken, it's been also stated as no one ever went broke underestimating the taste of the American public, but mm-hmm. I've heard the intelligence And I hear that at times, and sometimes people say it and don't know the person who said it first. But that was stated, what, in probably the 1920s, and here we are almost a century later, and some would say it's still relevant and maybe more so now than then.
Oh, sure. I often wonder what Mencken would think of our current political climate. I don't think he would be surprised. We'll say it that way. Someone asked him one time, if you dislike so much about American politics, you know, why do you continue to show up and cover it? And he said, well, I do it for the same reason that people go to zoos. So I don't think he would be very surprised at what's going on right now.
He also once said, every normal man must be tempted at times to spit on his hands, hoist the black flag, and begin slitting throats.
Gosh. Yeah, he could be pretty extreme in his language. But he's never dull. I will say that. I don't always agree with H.L. Mencken, but he's never dull.
And he grew up in the town that spawned Edgar Allan Poe, Baltimore, died there, and he was a man who did not like Franklin Roosevelt at the end of his life, did he?
He didn't, and it really contributed to the downfall of Mencken's popularity. I think he thought that Roosevelt was entirely too liberal, and one can agree or disagree about that, but I will say about Mencken, I think that he was relatively detached from the urgencies of the Depression and the number of people who were going hungry and things of that sort, and I think that kind of contributed to his loss of popularity in the 30s, although he had a rebound in the 40s after he started publishing memoirs of his childhood, which were not controversial, and that it was something that people of any political stripe could really rally around. And it's a shame he's not more read today, because all these years later, he never fails to engage you whenever you meet him on the page.
Danny Heitman a few weeks ago wrote a column in the headline, Libraries Ruin, A Failure of Patriotism, and it's about the Middleton Library at LSU. And you have taken the tour, and it's not what it used to be.
Well, I visited Middleton for the first time in a number of years this summer. My son was taking a class at LSU, and we happened to be together, and Aaron took us to the library. And what struck me was how little the library has changed since I first visited there as a grade schooler in the 1970s. And I was so deeply impressed by the library as a grade schooler back then. And what really struck me was how little the library has changed. It seems like some of the same furniture is still there. And of course, as we've reported in our paper and others have reported, the library is in very sad shape. There's plywood over the floors to cover holes in the floors. The basement routinely leaks and floods during rain. There are plastic sheets over some of the reference materials to keep them from, you know, rainwater whenever we have stormy weather. And that's really not where LSU needs to be, and it's not where Louisiana needs to be.
Phil in Jefferson Terrace. Phil, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana with Danny Heitman of The Advocate.
Good morning, gentlemen. I've read a lot of what Mencken wrote, and he was really funny, very biting, sarcastic sense of humor. He wrote a description one time of a train ride that he took, and just how ugly all the buildings were between the station that he was riding in. My question is this: do you get any backlash for some of your positions? I know I really respect your position on the tax question. And I'm sorry. Hello.
Yeah. Okay. We got your question in, Phil. What about the tax question and the positions you take, Danny? Do you get any pushback on it?
Well, a typical day in the editorial department of The Advocate is I get calls from people who say, we cannot believe how liberal you are. And I get about an equal number of calls from people who say, I cannot believe how conservative you are. Our position on taxes is we've always been very vigilant as a newspaper, I think, in as a watchdog of local and state government, to make sure that tax dollars are being used wisely. And whenever we determine that they're not, we're the first folks on our editorial page to call out public officials and try to hold them accountable. But of course, taxes are necessary. A certain level of taxes are necessary to support our government.
Dan downtown. Dan, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana with Danny Heitman.
Hi, just the condition of the LSU library. Yet the additions to Tiger Stadium, the new baseball stadium, the new coach's office building, and the great majority vote for Trump say something about the priorities of Louisiana citizens.
Danny, he gave you some red meat.
Well, I mean, I think for thousands of years, civilizations have been judged on the quality of their libraries. And I think we need to think about that. The fact that Middleton Library is in such sad shape, I don't think it reflects well on LSU. I don't think it reflects well in Louisiana. And I don't think it reflects well in the United States of America.
Now, with as much information in my pocket as there is at the LSU Library, some would say that libraries are going to become like printed newspapers. At some point, we won't need them. But there's something majestic and civilized about a library. Do you see the day when there will only be a few left in this country?
Well, they obviously need to change. I mean, I noticed that when I visited Middleton that their periodicals department has greatly changed because a lot of that information is online. But I think that, you know, for the foreseeable future, there is still going to be a very large universe of reference material that is not available online because it's simply not practical to feed that much information into an online environment. And so I think there's going to be a need for librarians, but also librarians, because librarians are very, very skilled curators of information. And we are blessed by the abundance of information we have online, but we're also challenged by it. And it takes skilled people to help students navigate that environment. And so I think there's always going to be a need for libraries and librarians.
You note that Governor John Bel Edwards even made a trip to the Middleton Library.
I'm glad that the governor went. And I think anything that we can do to throw light on the condition of the library is helpful. I think what has remained elusive is the money and the commitment to finding the money to either repair or replace the library.
Well, Dan made a point about these majestic sporting facilities that are on the LSU campus, and of course they are self-sustained. People pay to go to, primarily we're talking football and baseball, a little bit of basketball, but there are only three money sports on campus. The rest of the sports lose money, and some of them millions of dollars a year, but football, basketball, baseball are the ones, men's sports, that are the ones that pay the freight, and it's almost all football. So do we have a priority issue?
Well, football is always going to be a big part of culture in South Louisiana. I tend to be not an either or person, but a both and, you know, person. I think that it's great to have a competitive football team. It's great to have a nice stadium that people can go to, but we should also have a decent library too. And I think that, you know, we have these nice stadiums. We invest in these teams because we know that in order to be competitive, they need money and they need resources. The same holds true for the academic side of the university. In order for them to be competitive throughout the SEC and beyond, academically, they need resources too.
Well, there's talk of building a new library and tearing down the Middleton Library, which is a bit architecturally out of place in the quadrangle. But I went to school at LSU, and you did as well. And it served its purpose, and you got to have something. And the Hill Memorial Library is a nice place too, but it's not big enough to sustain 30,000 students.
Well, I mean, that's true, and actually I'm a Southeastern grad, but I have taught at LSU, and I have a deep affection for LSU as such an important part of Louisiana. I mean, ultimately, the question of whether to replace or fix the existing library is something that's going to have to be sorted out, but I think regardless, you know, the end result needs to be a quality library that anybody at LSU would be proud to show potential students and parents.
877-217-5757. Still time to talk with Danny Heitman in our remaining time as we go to the end of the hour with this man who's been writing editorials for The Advocate for some time. How many years now, Danny?
I joined the editorial board in 2004. I joined the newspaper in 1986. I just passed my 30th year at the newspaper.
What do you make of this concept of fake news?
I think when someone says something is fake, it's their obligation to show you how it's fake. You know, how is it incorrect? How is it wrong? And I think to just label anything fake that you disagree with is not intellectually honest, and it doesn't serve. You know, it just doesn't serve the public interest.
But we're living in an arena where we have more people who could be considered journalists. It doesn't take much to get something read by a lot of people. But on the other hand, there isn't the vigilance that there once was when we had a more constrained notion of what was a journalist.
I just encourage people. I encourage my students whenever I taught journalism, and I encourage the general public, and I just encourage everyone. In the same way, you want to have a varied diet. when you sit down at the dinner table, I encourage people to have a varied media diet. Don't just read The Advocate, although I have a deep pride in The Advocate. Don't just look at one TV network. Sample a variety of media outlets, and that should give you a balanced perspective on what's going on in the world.
297-5633 or 877-217-5757 in our remaining time with Danny Heitman of The Advocate, Thomas on Lee Drive. Thomas, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana.
Morning, Jim. Join your show, and delighted to have read Danny's column bringing our attention to the Middleton. And one thing that I don't recall that he mentioned is that one thing that is not old and broken down over there is the new dean, Stanley Wilder, and his enthusiasm is going to be a real positive thing, I think, for the library. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Thomas. Always got to have good people to go with good facilities.
You know, I connected with LSU's library staff firsthand when I researched a book I wrote and published in 2008. It's about John James Audubon, but I had to use the library's resources. The library staff could not have been more diligent and professional, and I was deeply impressed by them, and you're absolutely right. It's people that make an institution, and we are so fortunate to have Middleton, as well as Hill Memorial Library, and those staff are doing incredible things in spite of some pretty overwhelming challenges.
All right, here's a question from a listener, somewhat rhetorical, but why are people reading fewer books?
I think that our attentions, we have divided attention because there's so much going on in the world. We've gone from four TV channels to 500 TV channels. We have Twitter, we have Facebook, and I think it's very difficult for people to focus and summon the kind of sustained attention that we need to read.
Well, we have, and I'm not picking on him, but we have a president who's done very well in his life, by the way, without reading a lot of books, but he acknowledges that he doesn't read books.
I think it's useful for anyone to read because I think it deepens you. I think and studies have shown this, it deepens your level of empathy because you develop an imagination to be able to think about how someone else might be feeling. And, I just also enjoy reading, and I think it kind of sharpens your skills in using language, which is a very important thing for any leader to have.
And I notice you have a book with you today.
This is a book I mentioned in my column about Middleton. It's called The Farm in the Green Mountains. It's by Alice Herden Zuckemeyer. She was a refugee from Nazi Germany. She came over in the 1940s to live in America. She ended up living in New England, and one of the things that deeply impressed her was the quality of our libraries. And so I mentioned that because our libraries are a beacon not only to the people who live here, they're a beacon to the world, and they show our commitment to free and open discourse and intellectual inquiry. And gosh, we would be sunk if we didn't have good libraries.
Well, Danny Heitman, we're glad you've been at The Advocate now 31 years, and you can read an editorial by Danny. You may not know it's by Danny, but you and Lanny write most of the newspaper editorials.
I'm gratified to count Lanny as a friend and a colleague.
Both very talented men, and Baton Rouge is fortunate to have them. Thank you for joining us today, Danny Heitman.
Thank you, Jim. Thanks for having me.